RJ realized that, like, dude, if I hit this dude, like, we're going to end up in New York on that. We in New Jersey. We're going to go through the Manhattan Tunnel, river, whatever it is, the Hudson where Captain Sully landed on. It makes you wonder, do they believe in it? A lot of people think that Cooper was searching. You know, are they panicking? Like, are they trying to figure it out? Like, he just changed it. But I felt like if he was able to do that, he was going to win the championship no matter what those guys did, because I don't think they would have just got second. What's up, guys? You know who it is. Your boy JS7. And you know where we at, baby. We at the Rerun Show. Round 14 from New Jersey. I like to call it New York, but close enough. We in New Jersey. New Jersey? I said New Jersey. I was trying to get like a New Jersey accent, but sorry. But we up there at MetLife Stadium, and it was a lot of action going on. Of course, your boy was on TV for a long time. You know, we started at 6:30, 7 to like, we didn't finish till midnight. Why? We'll get into that. But it was good. New York crowd was amazing. New Jersey crowd was amazing. Y'all, I got to give y'all credit. Y'all stayed there for a long time with that rain and lightning. Us here from Florida, and I know my black ass. When it starts lightning, I get inside.
Oh, hell no.
But y'all stayed out, which was cool. So let's get into it, people. You know what we got to do. This weekend coming into New Jersey, you had to feel like four races left. Something was going to happen. And boy, did it happen. The first lap of practice, you had Eli hitting the ground like, bam, hit the ground. Arms came off. One arm came off. Hit it. Hit that ground like, hoo, on there. And there was a lot of talk because he actually hit pretty hard. And watching him fall, it's kind of been that same thing I've been talking about all year. Like in those deep part of his rhythm sections, I don't think he feels comfortable. So he got caught out. His thing went down. Double D's went flat, whatever it was. He full on bottomed out, hand came off, and then hit the ground. Then he gets up, bike's making all this kind of noise. And then there was, everybody's looking like, oh gosh, like he's going to go. Whole crowd went, oh, then it was quiet. So that's how the weekend started off. Then you had Barcia and AC getting into it. Then we had some guy crash in practice. Hope he's well. He got knocked out. I mean, literally knocked out. You know, when a dude freezes, like, that's knocked out. That's how he was. I've been there, done that. So hopefully he gets well. And it was all set up because the track was super slippery. And just like Unadilla, which is upstate New York, had a lot of pebbles in it. And it was kind of that same layout, basically almost same layout as like Tampa, but kind of that same slippery conditions, like had some shiny stuff on it, but those rocks made it super slippery. So guys was having a hard time getting on traction. And they were getting super close to the hay bales and just sliding around and washing the front end like Barcia did and AC. So coming into that, you had to know guys who ride on the throttle, guys that are comfortable being uncomfortable, like Justin Barcia, Ken Roczen, who's really like smooth, you know, can keep traction up. He would be good. Justin Barcia, kind of guys that like riding that slippery stuff. And I feel like you can do it two different ways. You can do it like Barcia does, where you can just let the legs hang out and you're just on the throttle, which you would think if you're on the gas that hard, like you'd be spinning around, legs flinging. You wouldn't do that good here, but he's comfortable. And so you can be uncomfortable, but being comfortable, being uncomfortable. And that's Justin Barcia. Or you can do it like Ken Roczen and super technical and pick your way around the racetrack. It's not surprising at Indy that we had those two guys up front.
It's Suzuki versus Gasquez. Roczen versus Barcia. They're riding to the white flag.
You know, one guy rides this way, the other guy rides that way. And this track was just like that. And I feel like besides, you know, Ken making a few mistakes at the end of the race, losing his goggles, him and Barcia was the best two guys all, like, pretty much when that thing started raining. And even like kind of during the day, that I thought they looked good. So it was cool to watch a track to have two different riding styles come together and be up there. But also when that rain came, you always go for the mud riders or guys that, like I just said, but anything goes. Anybody can win. You know, a start dictates. Those guys were going at it in the beginning part of the race. They were taking each other out, cutting off in the 250 class. It was going back and forth because track position and the rain delay race, and especially the way this one went. We'll get into that in a second. Track position was a must. And then you have anybody like Max Anstey at an East-West shootout, like Andrew Short, East-West shootout, anybody can win. And you had to look forward to that interview. And it's still going. He is still talking people.
I've been thinking, man, I want to do a mud race. I want to do a mud supercross, and we got it done. I got out front, and my mechanics pen didn't work on the pit board, so I thought it was still Voland behind. So I was like, oh, I've got a gap. And then all of a sudden, I heard someone revving. I was like, oh, that's Jet. He's coming. I was like, oh. But honestly, from about the third lap in, I was just thinking, man, this bonus check's going to be quite good. Uribe, I'm going to tip him upside down and empty him out. And I thought, man, I better not screw this up now. I better keep my, you know, keep hitting my marks. And
so some of the challenging parts as for me when I raced, the hardest part for me was, even though I was super good at them, was the time between a heat race. Time between the last practice and the heat race. You got about an hour and a half, 2 hours where you're downtown. And then you go out for opening ceremonies, and then you start racing. And then for the guys in the lights class, you know, it's even longer. They don't have a parade lap. They drop the gate. You got to go. So I felt like it was when the track was slippery, unsure if they changed stuff. That was hard for me, and also a lot of riders. That's why I think I practiced during the week to be able to just wake up, throw on some gear, and be able to go out and be able to go fast when I'm cold. For the heat races and the beginning part of the main event, because that time. So this weekend you had that normal time, but then you had the time between the heat race for most of these guys in the main event because that lightning delay. Now I ain't gonna sit up here and say I know how they feel, because I ain't never been through that in my life. On there, I can only imagine how difficult that was for these guys, because there was a part where, as a racer, we're all taught, like, we get in this zone. You had to track, these things happen, right? They just happen, and they get so normal, like waking up, brushing your teeth. And people that don't brush their teeth, you know, they don't brush their teeth because they be funky on there. But normally you don't smell that stuff. And then so you get in a consistent routine. So when it ain't raining, there's no rain delay, your whole day is normal. And then you're going out for the main event, everything's all right. You know, it's going to rain on there. It's possibly going to rain on you. But then to be pulled off the gate, which is a first, be stuck in the tunnel, which is a first, and then having the people pulling off the helmets, the mechanics are sitting around, like nobody was really doing anything to like prep the bike up, because they thought, man, this lightning, this is weird. They took all the fans out of the stadium. So everything changed for a while. And I think the mindset for those guys, I don't think they thought they were going racing. And even when you listen to Jet Lawrence and his brother on the podium, like, they were just kind of chilling. Like,
so we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to see. There's an unfortunate chance we don't race, but it sucked. I was going to smoke him. And maybe the best I can do is splash him now if we race. But we're still seeing lightning outside. So,
I'm praying for if we cancel it, we can go back, get a good night rest, and the fans can get a good night rest. They come back midday tomorrow. Just have like a midday rager tomorrow with the mains.
Whatever, laughing, saying, hey, maybe tomorrow I'll be better and all that. And you could just tell, like, I don't think they thought they were actually going to race, because it was pretty gnarly up there. And then from looking at mechanics, everybody's kind of talking. In the 450, I think everybody was like bundled up, like big swinger factory, whatever, in one truck over there. They're all hanging out. And then all of a sudden they got the news to go racing, that mechanics start pulling off stuff. They start putting all these things on. And so I think their mindset was like kind of thrown off, and I almost feel like that would be better in that situation than knowing that eventually we're going to go racing. We're going racing, and that you're just waiting for them to call you up. Because then you'll be in that zone of like, all right, I'm still nervous. I know this is going to happen. So everything you're looking at, the rain, you're just getting down, the lightning, you're just getting down, and you're just nervous, thinking about the mud racing compared to sitting there and like, man, I don't really think we're going to go racing. Nobody's really moving around. You just start talking to your friends and all that. And then boom, they say, hey, you going? It just throws you in there. It throws everybody in there, and you just got to go out and do it. And I feel like with mud races, you got to be like the guys who are actually able to just embrace the situation for what it is. Like the guys that just feel like, I'm going to just jump in the pool. Like, I don't even got to touch the toe. It is what it is. So it's going to be hot, cold. I'm going to find out when I find out. those are good mud riders, because they don't let it get down. They don't look at all these mud puddles. Instead of being like, damn, they look at like, damn, like, all right, let's go racing. And so I feel like with those guys just being thrown in that situation, like it almost made you that way because you didn't really know. It just all happened. And it actually happened quick. Me and Ricky was at the buffet up there about to get in some grub. And they were like, hey, we need you on the call. We're going racing in 10 minutes. And literally in 10 minutes, we were racing. So I can only imagine with the guys, since I've never been through that and neither have they, the fact that you're cold, raining, and you just get thrown in there. I think it was better that they were kind of unsure where they were going to go racing because they literally lined up and they went racing. And so before we even had a chance to think who would be good in the mud, Max Anstey was up front. And you just knew like, damn, I want this dude to win because that podium interview, we already delayed. Peacock, I don't know if we still on, off, people are getting cut off, services off. But I know if Max Anstey gonna win, we're gonna make all the time up. We're gonna be on next day air. And sure enough, he did. So shout out to Max. He is still talking, people. He is still talking. So this weekend was the East-West shootout. East-West, always get excited to have these, like to watch these races because you have the best of the East, best of the West. And of course, coming in, they were always talking about Jet and Hunter, the best two guys on both coasts. They're both brothers and a lot of hype coming into this. And I always remember like the East-West shootout, just like me and Travis Preston or Chad Reed, the champions, they talk a lot about them. But usually in the East-West shootout, you have the other guy that ends up winning. And especially even more than my time, there's points on the line. But back in my day, it was like, look, it was straight up ego. Like the only thing that can kind of stop us from just like going ham was like literally we had to race outdoors in a couple of weeks. So we somewhat focused on that. Where these guys, they want to go racing. They want to be the best of the best. But they also know that if they screw up, they're going to lose a lot of points. And not knowing how good the other coast is, like it just makes it good for us fans because we're like excited and really excited about not necessarily the guys that's up top, but you know, that fifth through like 15th, those are some good battles. The Cody Shocks, those guys, Max Anstey just straight up waxed them this weekend. You know, in mud, he didn't even know homeboy was coming up. Clearly he didn't. And he's still talking, but usually I get excited for those time, kind of races and Joe Shimoda coming back. There was a lot of things to look forward to. So they kept talking about Hunter, Hunter and Jet looked really good in the heat race. You listen to RJ's interview. He was like, yeah, I felt like, you know, Jet was coming up. And then
I kind of had a little bit of room for my last lap. So just kind of look to see what I can find. Man, we're going to be racing a different track here in the main event. So be important to get a good start in there.
That's kind of what he did. Like he kind of like paused because Jet like hit that 46 on him. And he was like, I just got so many lines. He knew like, damn, that dude went fast around that racetrack. And Jet was actually doing stuff different than everybody else. Like he was just kind of drifting into the berms where those guys were like trying to square up, get traction and all that. Jet just kept like rolling on there. So he was just making up time just by rolling around the racetrack. And if you roll, you know what, dude, like you don't got to stop and go. If you're rolling and the tire ain't spinning, you stop and go. You don't got to get on the gas. You just kind of roll through it. Jet was doing that. So that's where he was making up time was. Nothing else, kind of like Chase in Houston. He just roll speed was faster than those guys. So anyways, in the RJ's interview, you could tell he was like, I don't even know where the hell that came from. I mean, maybe he was jumping five jumps. I don't know, but he caught him. But RJ came in and did what he did. He won that heat race and then decided to do the slide heard around the world.
He has Max Anstey. Oh, wins his maiden Monster Energy AMA Supercross main. RJ Hampshire throwing everything at it at the finish.
And RJ rode good in the main event. But of course, you know, dude was going in there. He slid in that thing like he was surfing up in there. He came and it was like, ah. Jet even looked back. He was like, he comes out the corner. He's like, ah. All right, I ain't going to be able to get Max. And he looks, he's like, damn, RJ right there. Like, all right, I'm going in there. Like on there, RJ came like, bam, bam, bam on there. And that ain't for Justin Barcia yet. But RJ came in there and you got to give him credit for everybody that says RJ was dirty. No. RJ realized that, like, dude, if I hit this dude, like, we're going to end up in New York. on there. We in New Jersey. We gonna go through the Manhattan Tunnel, river, whatever it is, the Hudson where Captain Sully landed on. We gonna slide right across that river into New York, down in Chinatown. So I'm gonna drop the front end on there. So before y'all start tripping on RJ, dude, like he tucked it on there, but he tucked it and he started like hydroplaning across that stuff. And he came in hot and it was perfect. The way the camera angle was, we like looking at Jet. And the next thing he like that. That's kind of literally how it was. And he took it down. Then they had that face. He had like dirt all over him. He's like, ah, like, come on. He looked like me in 06. When Ricky was laughing all of us on the goddamn side of the hill. Like, why? Why? Ricky told me a story real quick. People didn't tell you this story. He said, oh, I was over in Motocross of Nations and we were racing and it got too muddy. And eventually everybody stuck on the side of the hill and they red flagged it. They called it. And I was like, huh? I said, what up? Why didn't AMA do that? Like when we were all stuck on the side of the hill and I got livid. Everybody goes, yeah, you got laughed and all that. He laughed the whole field. Well, I mean, FIM said that ain't a good look. We ain't gonna have everybody stuck on there. You saw JS like that. Hit Dave Villeman, bike went flying on there. And then I was like, looking like RJ, trying to pick up my bike. So I don't know, RJ, I saw you tuck the front end. You would have been in Chinatown if you didn't. So before y'all call him dirty, he didn't want to hit Jet like that. He just wanted to make the pass. When he realized the pass wasn't gonna happen, or he was gonna send him like maybe a pass over or something, he tucked it. And then he got done. So anyways, RJ, you rode good. Jet, you rode good. Hunter, y'all end up getting third. Danger Boy rode really good. Dude crashed, got up. I don't think he crashed again, but he was rolling on there. But of course, as we were talking about this, Max is still talking people. And congratulations, Max Anstey. I'm going to give it early. What are we going to give him called?
Suntan, next on fire.
You got to give Max a stew, a neck burn, whatever it is. I'm kind of confused, whatever it is, because it just came up. But of course, we wouldn't leave you off, Max. I know you at Disney World right now, and I just feel better. We were all excited watching you on there. I'm excited. Why am I yelling? Why am I yelling? Because I was thinking about Max, and I'm just happy. I'm happy. So, Max, congratulations, the first one in America. America. Damn, you rode good on there. You had no goggles on. Looking back, you like, he ain't gonna mess this interview up. Congratulations, Max. I'm gonna say it for you. You a stew. So that was the East-West shootout. Now, back to the 450s, where we want to be at, where we need to be at. As I was saying, there was all kind of stuff going on all day. Eli hitting the ground. AP, man, I hope you hit. I hope you're all right. You take some tough hits. When the 450 main starts, of course, like you saw how bad those guys were end up riding, how difficult it was for the 250. Like they start struggling at the end. And so you imagine like their last laps, the first lap in the main event for the 450. So they're sitting on the gate. They see it. They see how much those guys are struggling getting through lappers and trying to pass people. And with goggles, it was still raining out there. So, of course, the start was going to be the biggest part of your race. Like that really was going to be whether you were going to have a chance to win or like be your whole race was going downhill. If you didn't get a start, it was going downhill. It's like making a triple bogey on the first hole. Like you're just digging yourself out just to be even. Bad start. You're just fighting, losing tear offs. You ain't really got no chance. So in the beginning part, like you saw how aggressive Barsha was and a lot of those guys, same thing as 250. Those guys were trying to get up and get ahead. So and the reason they were doing that was one, again, watching the 250 class and seeing when Jet caught those guys and people caught them, they had a hard time getting around them. They do that because the track gets one-lined. And when it's a mud race, if it keeps raining, then even though it gets more slipperier, like the track, it continues to open up lines because it's not so sticky. You know, you can kind of slide around and get past. What ended up happening for that 250 class is that it was raining, but it got lighter. And then they were able to start making a groove. And what happened was the groove became one-lined. And so when you're looking at the gate on the 450, you're knowing that, like, look, there, I see Jet. He's way faster, but he can't pass. You know, even when guys got in lappers, like, they couldn't pass. They stopped jumping the triple on there. So if I can get a start and get around these guys, I could be able to get a gap on them. And then I can concentrate about riding the track. Because in a mud race, the goal is, look, get a good start, get in the lead quick, and then just try to make the jumps the first two laps. If I can hit both triples the first two laps on there, then I can have a gap. in Seattle, I think 06, I think I had like a 10 second lead on like the first or second lap. I was gone. I think I won by like 12, but it was because I got a start. Those guys got bunched up. I was able to jump the triple and that was it. And if you paid attention to the race, you could see like Ken Roczen, he was out front. Barcia wasn't around. He doubles the triple. And next thing you know, Barcia's almost about to pass him. And that's what you were able to do. So I think that's why those guys are super aggressive and why Barcia tried making a pass on Chase. Not to be dirty, but he knew one is one lined it. If I allow German Chaka to slide his way on out here, dude's going to be good. And if I let him go, then that means I got to take more chances on this track because I got to make that time up. So that means I'm going to take more chances that I might hit the ground compared to if I can get up, get around Chase, I can follow him, just let the track fall in. They didn't have a parade lap. It's raining. Track's changing as the moment. So he went in on Chase. Two things. I would have had to do the same thing. I don't think Barcia was trying to go in there and like be dirty, but it's a mud race. I think when the mud race comes in there and you know how important the first couple laps is, it ends up like an LCQ. Anything goes on there. You just got to know it. If you notice, Barcia, everybody was tripling into that corner on there. Usually, I think Ken tripled in, Chase tripled in. Barcia doesn't triple in. He singles in there. I think he goes two single. So when it throws him in there, he jumps into that corner. So when he lands, he's got a slide. He doesn't have as much braking room as Chase. Barcia starts the turn. He realizes that, look, I can't turn into these ruts. So if I try to turn into that, we're both going to crash because Chase is going to come down. He's going to hit me. And then basically the way he's going to hit me, he's going to push me and I'm going to just fall over. So he gets in there. He slides the thing around. You can tell he gets in there and he's just like, all right, I'm just gas it. And that's when Chase came down and clipped his back tire. And why Barcia was still able to go is because Barcia had to cut across those ruts. He wasn't actually going to turn and try to catch it because then they both would have went down. So all that was set up because Barcia singled into the corner. Barcia knew he wanted to get in front of Chase because Chase was riding good in that heat race. And Ken Roczen, probably if I'm Justin Barcia, the one guy I know that's probably pretty good in the mud in these kind of conditions is the guy that's out front. I don't want him to get away because German Chocolate is pretty good. I don't want Chase to hold me up, not sure what was going on. So I'm going to make that pass right now. He makes the pass right now. Chase goes down and Chase almost saved it. He saw it at the last minute, hit him, hit the brakes, and then he kind of falls over. And for that point, like Chase's race was over because even though Chase rode good, dude, you fall on the first lap. He did a good job at making his way up, but those two guys were gone on there. You look at the distance between first, second, and third to fourth. That's the difference between getting out front, jumping the triples the first couple laps. It was like almost 20 seconds on there after where Eli was to where Chase. And I said in the broadcast that if Chase didn't fall again, even if he would have went to the back of the pack, Chase would have been able to come up through the pack. He just wouldn't have been able to win the race. Because those guys out front, they would have been able to gap him, but he would have been able to make passes because guys would have fell on there. If you just roll around the racetrack, you can catch some of those other guys that maybe necessarily don't like the rain. For instance, like Cooper Webb, not saying he don't like the rain, but he was in like fourth, fifth, and he was just in that spot where like he just got lapped by Barcia. And it wasn't like Cooper was like a sucky mud rider. I mean, dude was in top five on there, but the difference between guys, once you get out front, you ain't getting roosted, arms, handlebars, everything's clean, and you get a sense of the pace. It's just easier to pull away. So another thing in a mud race, for those that don't know, the reason you see such big gaps in the beginning part of the guys, the leaders, compared to the guys in like fourth to fifth, is because the guys up front, they set the pace. And sometimes like when those guys get away so quick, which they do, if you're in like fourth and fifth, you have to wait, see if this guy's going to jump this jump. The guys up front, first person jumps it, second person jumps it, maybe the third, and they're gone. So you don't get a sense of like how fast they're actually going. And so you get caught back up into the battle that you're running with. And then you realize like, look, we're going like 3 seconds slower because I don't see those guys jumping the triples. I don't see where they're going. And they just get in the flow and they continue doing it because they don't see how like slow y'all are going. And they're not judging in mud races because there's so many lappers and all that. You just focus on doing that. So that's why you see like such a gap in between the leaders and then like the fourth place or fifth place guy, because the distance that they make on that first lap, that's why to start in a mud race and that first lap, first and second lap is the most important part of the race. I don't even care if you fall over. You can fall over, run off the track. If you're leading up front, you can still have a chance to catch back up. And you saw what Eli did. Like, he was like 15 seconds back on like Roczen at one point, and within like three laps, he caught him. Roczen make a couple mistakes. Eli jumps triple. Roczen doesn't jump triple. Boom, he's there. But Eli had a sense of the pace that they were going. So he knew, all right, like I need to jump this because those guys are jumping this, compared to if he was where Cooper was, he didn't see that. Or when Chase went down, Chase didn't see that. So it's just, it was really important for those guys to get, and Barsha knew that. And considering that, like, look, I thought he was going to win one. And the fact that German Chocolate was up there and him, those are the two guys, like I said earlier, Barsha's comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you're in a mud situation, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable in all the elements. They just got to be fun. Just got to wake up. It's raining outside. You're like, dude, I want to go play anyway. I don't care. Just let's just do it. Jump in the pool cold. Or you just got to know, look, I'm a good enough golfer that I can pick my way around this thing anyway. Par is good all day long. I'm going to be consistent. And that's what German Chocolate is. You don't make those mistakes. Yeah, he made them at the end of the race, but that's because he had no goggles. That's just what happens. But he's consistent. He does the same thing. He's good. He's smooth. He's easy on the throttle. He ain't going to just all of a sudden go 3 seconds faster. He's just going to stay in his pace. That's a good mud rider. So Barsha knew he was pretty much the only person. Eli was just there like, hey, this here. I can't believe these fools up here keep letting me do this on the, I'm just doing it. And Eli rode good. Eli kept just riding. He kept riding his way all the way up to second. So he did what he did. And his interview, didn't it sound just like it did last weekend?
You just got to have the flow here. I mean, this was a real mud race. So one of the most, you know, gnarly ones we've had in a long time here. So it was fun. Justin was riding great. And just happy to get up here on the podium. You just never know what's going to happen in these conditions. So
just another week. Thankful. Day didn't start off great, but hey, we were able to get it. Got a good start. That was it. Nothing changed. His day sucked. He didn't ride that good in the heat race. Like, he didn't go beast mode. Wasn't nothing changing. And like, in fact, he probably had the worst day of the whole week, of the whole year. But what'd he do? He stayed the same on there. And so it brings me to my next point. Cooper Webb. Cooper. I actually thought Cooper rode like fine. The only problem for him is that the guy he needed to beat rode better. Only problem for him, the guy he needed to beat got a better start. Only problem for him that, like, he had to pass too many people. The other guy didn't have to pass too many people. Another guy did what he needed to do. Because why? Because that's what he does on there. He puts himself in these situations. He doesn't fluctuate. And I almost felt like Eli was almost trying to set them fools up. Look, got a Charlie horse. Dude walks off the track. They were like, are we going to race today? How's Eli? I knew Eli was going to come out and ride good. Yeah, he didn't like show beast mode, but he rode fine in the heat race. He did what he thought he was going to do. Like, he did what he needed to do. And then come out, I believe, in the main event, if it was dry, I honestly believe he was going to beat him anyway on there. He was not going to win the race. Like I said earlier, before it started raining, that guys, I felt like Justin Barsha, Ken Roczen, those guys were going to win the race. I felt like Chase and Eli, it was going to be a battle between them, kind of like last weekend. But it wasn't going to be for the win on there. And Chase rode good in the heat race. He was struggling all day long. When last time you seen Chase Sexton not on pole either in one of the practices? He was struggling all day long. I believe with that is why I said, even if Chase was able to win the next four races this weekend and the next three, he was going to win the championship. Even though the math wouldn't, if Eli would get second, it wouldn't mathematically work out. He wouldn't get the points. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. You know how it is. 5 out of 4 people struggle at math. It wouldn't mathematically worked out, but I felt like if he was able to do that, he was going to win the championship no matter what those guys did, because I don't think they would have just got second. And even though Eli got second this weekend, and I'm just proving my own fact, I don't believe that would have happened if Chase would won. I don't think he would have got second. He would probably got third, because I think Barsha was going to beat him anyway if it was raining, but maybe not. That's a lot of if, would, could, whatever you want to say. But Chase was struggling in practice. And I have to say, like, the reason why we're all kind of like waiting for Chase is because every time he gets in that, now, okay, he won last weekend. Did he figure it out? I mean, he even said he was glad to get that in there. He's the guy coming into it. He's got it with the momentum, right? We were just waiting for him to win, stay up. because he's always been the fastest. Now it's back on you, bro. If you win this, you can win. And then he just struggled. Maybe it was pressure. Maybe it was just track. I mean, a lot of guys are struggling on there. And to Chase's defense a little bit, the way I see him ride, I would say this track is like if he had a nightmare about a track that like he would not like to race. The way that track was set up and those conditions and being that slippery was not the type of track. It'd be his nightmare. It's just time. Why? Because, hey, he's sliding around. You got to be uncomfortable. Front end, be tucking on him on there. Like standing up on that lean, you don't want to be doing that. Like you can't be doing that. Just pushing, washing out in the front end. You don't want to do that. But you know what? Chase figured it out. He came out in that heat race, dude rode good. Almost better than I thought I've seen him ride all year. All year. I know he was 2 seconds faster at Houston, but I can point to the fact of why that was happening on there. But the way he looked at the in the heat race, he looked good and he turned it around. So, but then it rained. Then and I was all that. But my point is, people, it was a lot coming in for him to possibly be the guy that win. He just figured it out last week. So he should be able to win this weekend. And possibly if he wins the rest, he'll be your 2023 champion. So maybe that pressure was a little bit on him. And then with Eli hitting daddy, hitting the ground like that, and then Cooper still being Cooper, it was kind of set up for that. And he kind of struggled. So for him, Chase turned around in the heat race, it was good. And then with Cooper, he was just there. Like it was a weird day. I didn't really notice him. He didn't ride bad. It was almost like a track that you knew you were going to ride a lot of laps. And this was before it started raining and the track was going to break down. But the track changed the way from the practice to the heat races. The track actually, the way it was in practice, it was getting soft. Jumps were breaking down. The whoops were breaking down. But then after they went through it in between the practice and the heat race, it just got hard on there, and it got kind of like Tampa, and it wasn't going to break down. You're just going to do a lot of laps. And so, as we say, when the tracks break down and get tough, it's kind of the Cooper Webb. Yeah, but not this track. This track didn't break down like that. This track didn't break down like with the ruts, and they were going to do a lot of laps, but it was only going to get to a certain point, and it was just going to be slippery. And with the rocks and all that stuff in there, Cooper turning down super low wasn't going to work at this track because you would just come out and spin. You almost needed the fact that like open everything up on there and just stay out in the berms, not come out like where Cooper likes to go in, turn, come straight down. It wasn't going to work here. He needed to just go up, just be real patient in there and just stay in that fluff stuff. Or if he was going to turn down, and which he did in Tampa, make sure you just cross back and forth between the hard, slippery stuff. But with it being super rocky, and unlike Tampa, with it being super rocky, it was slippery throughout the whole parts, where Tampa was just slippery in the main line. It was just going to be difficult to do that. So Cooper was just like there. And I think with him, he saw everybody hitting the ground. I practiced people getting knocked out, people getting slammed, people getting jumped on, daddy hitting the ground. Like he was like, all right, maybe it's survival of the fittest because something up here in New Jersey, New York, I don't know, just something in the air doesn't seem right. So I'm going to just be here. And then all of a sudden it started lightning. So Cooper was just there. And the same thing in the main event. I don't think he rode bad. I think circumstances, Eli got a start, and it was the perfect circumstance for Eli. He was able to get that second. But, you know, we were talking about like Cooper's mindset. And it's just me. So I'm only speculating how this would, like, he made 1 point up last weekend, but he was upset. And then this weekend, he loses, 5 points? 5 points, I believe, because now it's 11. It wasn't necessarily what I felt like when I said last weekend Eli could have put a dent in him and, like, really solidified the championship last weekend. It's because even if he would have just beat Cooper, that 1 point is 1 point. Of course, Cooper wins next one, he'll win the race. I mean, if Cooper actually wins the next three races, he be the champion. Just like Chase, he would be the champion. Well, it was before Chase, before this weekend, he would be the champion. It was the mindset of what Cooper was able to do to Eli, the fact that he kept believing that it was. So I felt like if Eli was able to beat Cooper last weekend, wasn't that the points that he would gain? It was just a mental battle that he would have been able to gain over Cooper. And I feel like with this weekend, it's not that the 5 points Cooper lost that might be hard for him to overcome in the championship. It's just how, what his mindset is on there. Like, is he like just bummed out? Like, did that second place and for Eli make him just be like, damn, like every time I get close, then something else happened. Not the points on there. I do believe, and Cooper believes, if he wins the next three races, no matter what Eli does, even though the math doesn't add up that way, I do believe Cooper would be the championship. So if I'm him, the way this year is, the way I know Eli is, the way I see Chase, now that Barcia has got him a win, now that the German Chocolate has got a win, Anderson probably still wants a win. AC was actually riding good. Hopefully he's good. I believe those other guys are actually riding best they have all year, that they actually can get up in there. And if I'm like, if I'm Cooper, I believe Eli sees me out front. I'm hoping that, you know what, like it might bother him and he just settle for that third place, which gives me 5 points. Like the championship's in my hand, where like in 2006, I knew like I needed help on there. And luckily we got to Seattle and I got a little bit of help, but I needed help. Like, I didn't feel like Ricky would be off the podium. Same thing with Chad. Well, I feel like in this situation, if I'm Cooper, I've seen Eli just got fifth last weekend and then he won the weekend before, but then he got an eighth a couple weekends ago. So the likelihood of that happening, it could be. The likelihood of it not happening, Eli winning, is just as likely. And that's weird to say, I got a champion, that it's just as likely for him to win as it is for him to get eighth. Like, those are both equally just as likely to happen on there. And I don't know why. And that's why I said, you heard his interview after the race. He was like, same as he was last weekend, same as he was the weekend before. And that's why it's likely to happen either way. So if I'm Cooper, it's still in my hands. If I'm Chase, it is like 06 JS. I need help on there. I need help. That's 21 points or whatever it is. That's a lot of ground to make up with three races. But 11, the way this season is, that can happen. And I feel like it's still in me. I can control that. But that's only if Cooper believes that. And going back to the whole point when he was changing the forks and all this stuff, it makes you wonder, do they believe in it? A lot of people think that Cooper was searching, you know, are they panicking? Like, are they trying to figure it out? Like, he just changed it. No, I personally don't think that. I think they realize that there's a weakness on there and Cooper needs something, and they're making the changes to do that. Doesn't mean you're panicking. That just means you know what you need to do and you're going to do it. Maybe this change is the way to do it. So did it work? I don't know. I mean, I could say it did, actually, because he beat Eli last weekend, even though like he looked like he struggled. I don't know if he was on those same JS, those 20, the 2020 JSs this weekend, or the 2023 JS. I don't know which one he was on. But, you know, it's not because they're freaking out. It's just that they know like what they need. It's like, look, if I'm going to a sand track, well, I won last weekend with a hard pack. Well, does that mean like I'm at a sand track now? I know I need something different than I did last weekend. Do I change? Well, yeah. Well, if I change this, I'm panicking now. Like, no, it just means I need to be better. This is what I need to make my job easier. And Cooper needed something changed. So at the end of the day, Cooper, it's not the points. It's his mindset and what he thinks is the most important things. He can gain those points back, but whether how he feels, that's what it is. So, but at the end of the day, baby, and I always say at the end of the day, bam, bam, bam. I always feel like you'd be making me right. And I was starting to suspect, because remember I was saying like a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, it just feel like he gets like right there. And he's just like right there. Like he should way he rides, like he should be good. And like, I thought maybe years past, he would have cleaned old German Chocolate out. He would have cleaned him out. And even this weekend, like, he kind of cleaned him out. I would say that was dictated on the way to track. I mean, what do you expect the dude to do? Like, sit there and run out of tear offs? Don't think so. Got to keep them Oakleys clean. He ain't going to let that happen. So I need vision. I need to be able to see vision on there. So, of course, look, Chase might get front end knocked out. I don't know. So, Barcia, you made me look good because I say you've been riding good. Gas team, your bike been looking good all year long. So the only reason you haven't won is because you haven't won. Simple as that. That's on you. JS gave you approval. Your team gave you approval. Hell, you gave yourself the approval. So go do it. And what you did this weekend, you went out and did it. And what did he do for him? Cole? Damn.
Suntan, next on fire.
He won. I know. Wait, hold on.
He got a neck burn, people. He got a neck burn. He won. Hit it for him. I didn't like that call. Hit it again.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
Neck was on fire. Congratulations, Justin. And I'm going to say this, people. I almost feel like this was the best, most special win for Justin on there. You saw how he embraced that. I wish I would have been able to do that. Like what he went through that last lap, he embraced that. And I know people were like, whoa, man, hey, man, it's a mud race. Keep your hands. At that point, you're like, dude, whatever. Like, I am going to embrace this because it might be my last one. Like, it might be my last one. So I got little Johnny, little Susie, Cynthia. Nah, wait. What's her name?
Siggy, but he has a son named Sonny.
Okay, Sonny. But I was thinking about Siggy, but that's Jason kid. Something, Sonny, Siggy. Sorry, I don't mean no disrespect. But little Sonny was like, it's raining, but daddy just made the rain go away. It's a sunny day. So I'm going to embrace it. So Sonny can sit back and watch YouTube. Unlike me, YouTube, Dan, I'll be trying to like look at the damn TV and they're like, hey, can you put SpongeBob on? Or Papa Pig? Daddy Pooh? I'm like, nah, man, I want to hear Rap Shaheen say Chase Reed a few times up there. Call me James Reed. Yeah, I know he said my name wrong, but that's daddy on there. Daddy didn't have long hair. It's hard doing that, but little Sonny, he was in the thing and it was like raining and he was like, that's my daddy on there. And Justin embraced that. So for reals, I know out of all the wins and all that, and I wish I could go back and do that. Maybe I will. Maybe I can't. Maybe I'd like to try. Maybe I'll be at the whooping day C boys, C class, whatnot. But that part, I know that embracement, him and the hands and all that, that's the daddy. That's the daddy in him on there. Because look, dude, they're all of us. When he kicked that mechanic in the face when he was like high-fiving, like, woo, woo, that's, of course, like, they all celebrate. You saw Max, he was celebrating. But the daddy part is where you embrace that and you just, like, hug everybody and you high-fiving, you take your time and you say, you know what, look, I own this. I'm going to talk forever. And then I'm going to go in here and do this awkward jump in this thing that literally I could have blew out my leg. Well, who cares? Because I just won on there. That's because you were daddy. So, Justin, congratulations. You did it. You did it. Sorry. What up? I said it. Congratulations. Gas, Gas, Tyler Keefe, Troy, all y'all. Well worth it. That was cool to see. So, bam! Bam! Good job, kid.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. I want to welcome AG1 Nutrition as my second sponsor. Now, listen. The secret's been like, y'all been wondering how I got a little good looking, my skin glowing, got a little skinnier. Well, this is why. AG1 is a nutritional drink, and I ain't kidding with y'all. I do this every morning. That's why I feel good. That's why you hear me on here, come in here like just on my toes. So I'm proud to have them as a sponsor. It's easy to take in the morning right before I go this, or take right before we do the show. Also, they got a lot of vitamin D's. They got some other vitamins and supplements. But now that I'm back in the spotlight, traveling to the races, I started taking Athletic Greens to help energy. You know, when I stopped racing, a lot of things stopped. I blew up, energy levels down, my skin wasn't looking good. Gotta have good looking skin with this smile. So I started taking this stuff and it's really helped me a lot. My mood swings, my gut, everything. So if you want an easy solution to your supplement routine, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World. Did you hear me? athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World to get yours. And then you can look as good as me, or you can look like Cooper Webb on the 52's JS 2020. Not a good look. Check it out, people. All right, people. You know what time it is. My favorite time. Your favorite time. Stew and Stew. Now, of course, you know where we're going. You know where we're going on this one. Or maybe you don't know where we're going, but I'm about to tell you. We're going with Stew. Guys that do it better than everybody else. Guys just studs. Guys that like to, hey, man, like, you know what? I know I was just like sitting there and I was talking to everybody and we was hanging out in the rig and we was just chilling. And then they said, hey, we got to go racing. And nobody thought of me. But when they thought of me, next time they heard of me, I was on the podium. And you know where I'm going? Because I'm still talking, people. Max Anstey. You a Stew. Why you a Stew? Not because you won. Look, he's the first guy that won that like was like, damn, where did that come from? But it was like an unexpected win. Yeah, anyways, you get it. It's like I was like, damn, like, all right. Well, I was unexpected, but then it was like expected that he was gonna win. That's because Max Anstey is Stew. This dude rode good. I know he came back from Europe. I don't even know where he's been at, but he's been over here. He was talking in Houston when he got on podium. He was talking somewhere else when he got on the podium. And then, damn, he won this weekend at the East-West Shootout. He's the best of the rest. Them Jet Lawrence, they've been talking about them cats all day. Ah, Lawrence Show. Nah, it's the Max Show. Max Show, baby. Anstey. I come up here and Anstey these fools. It's Amnesty. Max, you a Stew. Sorry, people. I don't know where that was at, but it's Max. It's Max. You know what? Listen, Cole, just play the interview. He's still talking.
Kept hitting my marks, but honestly, it's incredible for the team. Firepower Honda, they did an absolutely amazing job. The bike made it to the end. That was a really tough race, and man, it was so much fun. Like, I honestly just enjoyed every minute of it. I love being here in the States, and man, my whole team put in so much work, and just to be up here, Honda's up here, it's unreal, and I can't thank the guys enough.
All right, and my next person I said that's like been riding good all year, person I said bike looked best, as almost best of everybody, I would say it's best bike looking all year. Person that just always, every time you hear him, you just hear him on there. He's on the red limit. Person that wouldn't make sense that he would be good in slippery kind of conditions. Person that just like doesn't make a lot of sense, that makes a lot of sense to me. Justin Barcia. Bam, bam. Now, Kat, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of, they like the old story, 360 world, how people change. You went from like booed out of the stadium on there to like people, New York, dude, we all cheering for you. Like it was bam, bam time. And then you hit that, you left the bike up there with the thing. I like how the mechanic crossed out the five, put the one on there because you were number one last night. And JS been saying, dude been riding good all year. I don't know why, but then like he gets that close, but then he just stays that close. And we were talking and then it started raining. It was like, all right, they going to go racing or not. Then bam, Barcia comes out there. Then bam, he hits Chase. Then he was like, bam, then Chocolate. And then he was like, bam, damn, Barcia won. And it was bam, bam. It was bam, bam's time. And he was like, yeah. Then 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 he was like, I won. And the mechanic was like, bop. Y'all see him. Cole got out sure. Bam. He didn't mean it. Dude, he kicked that mechanic with that boot inside of his face. And that was a good mechanic or crew member. Because he was like, bam, big old boot. And he couldn't get mad at dude. He couldn't do nothing. I know that shit hurt, though. Because next time, Barcia put his suit, like, he was doing that number. But Justin Barcia, of course, you a stupendous Stew. And Max, bam! You a stupendous. What? Don't be. Why you put that in there? I wasn't ready for that. Don't be putting that in there. Damn. There's only too many bams out here. So, Justin Barcia. You a stupendous Stew. Don't you do it, Cole. Bam, bam. I got this. You real good, kid. Win again next weekend. All right, people. Those are my two Stews, my Oakley Stews. And yeah, I know Max ain't that. He ain't an Oakley rider. But it doesn't matter. It's Max. It's Max. It's like Chiz in the last year. Yeah, you can't be mad. It's Chiz. Like, whatever. Like, hell, you expect to get taken out. And Chiz haven't even been back there. Like, He, you know how I know the Zuki's getting better? Because Chiz is getting better. And shout out to McElrath. McElrath got him like, he was top six, top podium, not six, 10. Well, you can go, like, he's like the third place. He's the third podium. He's the second podium. 1, 2, 3. Then he's like the second group of podiums. Anyway, shout out to him. Shout out to a lot of Benny Bloss was up there. Justin Hill was up there. A lot of guys was up in that second, third podium list. You know, it's like the grids at the whatever. And that brings me up to my next list. Not Stewed, Confused. This whole segment is confusing. I know Max Stumendis, Justin Stumendis, and I know a lot of y'all probably was like, not pissed that we were going to go racing. That's why I don't want to say stewed. Confused. Because they was like, for reals, like, I know we were confused sitting up there. We were like, we had some people up there like, just say that we're freaking commercial break. Just say we just whatever. And then the fans were like, woo. And they were like, look, get your ass into the thing until we figure out what's going on. There's lightning up here, people. And I could tell, like, I don't know if you New Yorkans don't really understand lightning, but if that was Florida, man, we'd have been trampling all of y'all. We don't mess with that lightning. That lightning, 7 miles radius, whatever, 30 for 30. My parents here in Florida, y'all know what that is. Probably most of my parents, 30 for 30. Every lightning strike, 30 minutes. That means your kid's got to stay his ass in school for 30 minutes after the last lightning strike within 8 miles. 30 for 30 sucks. If you're waiting in line with them gangster minivac moms, yeah. So they were just kind of going. And then, like, we were sitting there watching, like, are we going to go racing? Nah, we ain't going racing. The riders were, like, sitting there, we ain't going racing. You heard Jet them talking about, we race tomorrow. I'm like, hell nah, I got a flight tomorrow. What are you talking about? You know how much the airline fees are these days? Man, they're getting so bad. They, like, lady asked me for, like, $2 for a water. I was like, how much is it to breathe on this plane? Like, damn. Like, a carry-on? Like, you can take your personal thing, but a carry-on luggage, like, your extra, you got to charge? I'm like, for reals? Like, for real, there's so many upgrades on this thing. I'm like, damn, like, I'm about to put me a new set of rims on this thing. On there, it's upgrade. You want this upgrade. You got to upgrade to be in this line. Upgrade. There's a preferred upgrade. You want them 3 extra inches on there? Like, damn. That's how confused it was. And I feel like I'm just talking. So I am talking. This whole section is confusing. And anyways, so it was y'all, riders, y'all confused because y'all went racing. And then it was not confusing anymore because that's what we do. And once y'all got out there, y'all did what y'all did. Person right, person at one, other two guys get in there. And homeboy, don't call him dirty. He tucked it on there because he was going to slide. And then German Chocolate was out front. And then he got knocked down. And I sure I was confused because I think they actually like played like kids on the playground with them. You know what I mean? And Joe Shimoda was still like, they my friends, you know, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, that was the end of that. And that was the end of this confusing ass segment that just rambled on for whatever it is. You know why I'm doing this? Because Cole farted. I know y'all didn't expect that one coming. I threw that in there. You're probably going to hear it before we even get it. You probably won't even show it. But anyways, people, that was it. That was my list from round 14 from New Jersey, New York, where the lightning strikes, where there was no more lightning strikes, where you had Bam Bam, and you still got Max up there talking. But until then, I'll see you guys next week, round 15, up in Nashville, where your boy's going to be. Until then, Cole, you been nice. I got to get out of here. This dude farted.